on and out, God wants you to be in his presence. Stephanie and I were talking about it just a little while ago. Abiding, that is living. But there's what we came up with. Words cannot describe that living. So there's a little something about it when you abide in the shadow of the Almighty. That is just it, that overwhelming presence of God, indescribable joy. That's where you get. Y'all are on fire for it this morning. I'll just move on. Woo! Hallelujah. Somebody be happy, yeah? Okay, there we go. Let's wake up. Oh, you know what it is? It's the lights still aren't on. I'm sorry. I'm training her. She'll be all right. No, I'm going to get beat for that one. All of the lights. Ma'am? Please? There we go. It was dark in the back. I know you guys were probably wanting to take a nap, but wasn't in the cards for you today. Alrighty, so here we go with the announcements. If this is your first time at Spirit Life Church, we'd like to welcome you by saying, welcome home. There's a connection card right behind you. Or if you're in front of you, unless you're in the front row, then it's right behind you. But these guys, I think we all know them. So you guys, oh, but if you have a prayer request or, you know, a praise report, we'd love to hear about it. Thank you. The one-year Bible reading plan, this is an awesome way to get on path with God's word. That way, if you're reading this and I'm reading this and we're all reading this, we're all on the same page. Now, I know that Bibles have different pages. Some have super large print. So what might be page 10 for me is page 400 or whatever, right? But that get on the Bible reading plan. This is a really good way to get through the Bible. And then spend some time studying. It's in bite-sized chunks, which means you could take, the actual scripture readings is only about maybe 10 minutes, but if you spend some time, the longest book in the Bible is Psalm 119, and I made it through Psalm 119, reading it from number one until I think 76. It only took 20 minutes to read, but if you break down individual pieces and really ask God to speak to you through his word, you'd be surprised what is uncovered in honoring and believing God and really enjoying and eating the word. How many of you know when you take too big a bite, you just throw it up, but if you just enjoy your food and stuff like that and go through and process the meal, you get the nutrients. So that's the same way with the word. It's the food for our spirits. So read it, but don't just burn through it. Read it. Spend some time. It's like a fine dining service. Sunday night service, every first Sunday of the month at 6 o'clock, we're going through that book, Bible Prayer Study Course. Got too far ahead of myself. It's really good. If you haven't made it to one of the 6 o'clock services on the first Sunday of the month, come. It doesn't matter. Just come. We'll catch you up. All righty. Next, we have the men's luncheon. What did I say on Wednesday? Men don't have luncheons. We have lunch. We're going to meet here on Saturday the 27th at 10:30, and then we're going to drive up to the lodge at the Hualapai Mountains. And it's going to be amazing, and they have elk and deer there that we can look at and wonder, I wonder if I can shoot that. Yeah. If you're against hunting, I'm sorry. I'm not. There you go. Next, movie night. So apparently my movie night, I'm just joking. They added the slide. That's it. Family camp. We're going to watch that here Sunday, August 28th at 4 p.m. Steve said something about it not being night, but we know that day goes all the way through the night here in Bullhead City, Arizona, because the sun loves us. And the sun loves us. That was good. I made that up myself. Hallelujah. The next one, faith explosion. Yes. Do you know what that means? If we put up a slide for it, it's coming quicker than you can think of it. September 15th and 18th. The times are as follows. Thursday evening, 6 p.m. Then Friday, 10 and 6. 10 a.m., 6 p.m. Saturday, 10 and 6. Sunday, 10 and 6. Check this out. And we have three ministers. All of them have Edwards in their last name. Woohoo! Pastor Levi, now this isn't anything against Dr. Ricky, Dr. Sally, but Pastor Levi, man, when he they're all good, but Pastor Levi, man, he can preach it up and down. Knock the walls off, everything. It's super good. Huge anointed family of God. It's the mother, father, and brother of our pastor. And so it's awesome that they're all going to be here, and we're just going to have a buck wild time. Make sure you come as often as you can. Next, we told you there was more information on Light the Night coming. Here it is, October 31st from 5 to 9 at Scooter's Family Fun Center. The parking lot will be packed with free carnival games to win candy and prizes, costume contests, cake walks, face painting, live local worship bands, food, youth drama teams, neon foam pit, small child area, bounce houses, scooters, go-karts, batting cages, mini golf. Woohoo! Wow. Impact the world for Jesus Christ on October 31st. Yes, that's, and the scripture, John 1:5, New International Version, says the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. What? Darkness cannot overcome light. Hallelujah, because darkness is simply the absence of light, right? So once light is there, it can't be overcome. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And then I have one last announcement. This one is for First Impressions team. You know who you are. Meet Nancy. That's so weird. Mom's having a meeting 10 minutes after service in the fellowship area, which I believe is the youth room also. Quick little meeting. Got 10 minutes to get there, so... Oh, it's the room right here. I didn't know that was the fellowship area. Right on. So the room right there. Get yourself a drink. Say bye to your friends. And then go meet Mom. She has something important for you. Don't miss it. All right. Everybody ready to give? Holly, that's a good one. I like that. I won't do the turnaround like Steve does. We're just going to get after it. Hallelujah. Y'all know that giving is part of God's financial plan? Yes, we do. Hallelujah. A couple of you do. I'm gonna tell you this. Get on God's financial plan. You won't regret it. Simple as that. All right? Proverbs 3, verse 9 says, honor the Lord with your wealth and the first part of your harvest. And then your barns will be full of grain and your barrels will be overflowing with wine. Some of us... Or some people, I won't say some of us, some people out there don't want to honor the Lord with their wealth, right? Want to hold it up. If I can hold on to this a little bit longer, it's not going to do you any good that way. There is a matter of making sure your silos are filled with grain, silos being like your bank accounts, and we want that to happen for you. But it says this, honor the Lord with your wealth and the first part of your harvest. Then your barns will be full of grain and your barrels will be overflowing with wine. And what that looks like is, of course, we have the tithe, which is 10%. That's God's money, not yours. So you can't get off. That's not offering. Offering is above what the tithe is. And that's where we see the real overflowing of God's abundance coming in. And you don't have to take my word for it. If you look in the Bible and see what God did through those that honor him first and for those who honor him first, whew, that's all I can say about it. God loves a cheerful giver. When you give, it's given back to you, pressed down, shaken together, and pouring over, right? And so Heather pointed this out, I was going through I got a cool new Bible, and it has some notes in there for study. And it says the law of prosperity is a reflective law. And she's like, do you know what that means? I was like, I'd have to read it. I don't know. And it just hit her like a ton of bricks. She's like, whichever you do, it comes back to you. Whatever, it's reflective law. So we sow something out there and it comes back to us. We give, it comes back. And that is the financial plan of God, is for you to live in abundance, but you got to meet the plan first. And God will meet you where you're at. That the tithe, like I said, that's 10% gone. But it doesn't matter if maybe you can afford a dime, 10 cents. It doesn't matter what it is. It's where your heart is. And are you willing to be obedient to the word? Because a lot of us, not us, a lot of people out there are willing in some areas, but this one just hits them. They just can't do it. Don't be that guy. Put God, and God, this is the only place where God says, put me to the test. I dare you. So sow into the kingdom, sow into your life, and watch God just pour out a blessing that you couldn't even imagine sitting where you're at today. All righty? Let's pray and we'll receive the offering. Father God, thank you so much for this opportunity to sow into your kingdom, to increase our influence in the kingdom, Lord God, so that it will go throughout the nations, not just here at Spirit Life Church, Lord God, but throughout the world. Those seeds that we have planted have ministered to the weak. The seeds we plant minister to the hungry. The seeds we plant expand your kingdom. They build new churches. They build new orphanages. They help new ministers get started, Lord God. We thank you for the mighty work that you do through Spirit Life Church, Lord God, in our obedience to your word. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody said, amen.
Morning. How are y'all doing this morning? Amen. Am I unmuted back there? Hallelujah. Good to see all y'all smiling faces. Some of y'all's angry ones. Look at your neighbor and say, thank God for the hard places. Some people are like, I'm not going to confess that over my life. You don't have to. You don't have to confess it over your life. If you're a born-again Christian, you're going to have them. Amen. And we're going to do a little study on it this morning. Excuse me. I actually got some stuff from the Holy Ghost, obviously, and then I grabbed some more stuff from Brother Hagin, and then I got some more stuff from my dad. It's pretty good, I think. Amen. I'm going to read. Or actually, I'm going to pray first. Father God, we do love, thank you, praise you. And we magnify your holy name. Not my will this morning, Father God, but yours be done. And I thank you, Father God, my tongue will be as the pen of a ready writer, bringing forth truths from your word this morning that I didn't plan on saying, but that you would have not only for this congregation, but also for me, Father God. Thank you for growth this morning. Thank you for light, for illumination, for revelation. Thank you, Father God, for the ability to feed our faith with like believers, Father God. And I thank you for your anointing that you placed on me and as the office of a pastor. And I thank you, Father God, the word will come forth unhindered and unchecked by any outside force this morning. And we give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory for it. In the mighty name of Jesus, everybody agreed, said, amen. Amen. So I told y'all where I got some of the stuff from, obviously. And I got this book. It's called Must Christians Suffer? Really good book. It's only like 30-something pages, I think, something like that. But I'm going to read y'all a couple things real fast, what he said. He said, suffering will make you grow spiritually in a hurry. Yeah. Amen. It's the same in the natural realm. As a child, your food and bed are provided, everything is furnished. But then it becomes time for you to get out on your own. You start paying rent, buying food, and making automobile payments. You find out right away whether you're mature or not. Yeah. Right? Ain't that the truth? Some of us learn the hard way. It's like, well, I guess I ain't ready for that yet. As I look back now, I can see I wasn't conscious of the fact that the Holy Spirit led me into many hard places. We'll read it here in a minute, but y'all read over in Luke 4:1 where Jesus was led by who? The Holy Ghost, right? Right? Yes. To be what? Tempted. Yes, to be tempted. Yes. Huh? In a hard place.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. All right. Just knowing the word and walking by faith won't mature you. Yeah, I should have heard amen over that. Just knowing the word and walking by faith won't mature you.
Amen.
Amen. That's the reason many people never get settled. That's a key word, settled. Or matured. They won't stay in a hard place. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I thank God now for all those hard places He led me through. I thank God for the nosy people I've had to deal with. He said, actually one night they were having a service meeting at church for New Year's, and everybody was giving testimonies, and so Brother Hagin gave this testimony. He stood up and he said, I want to thank God for Sister So-and-so. Everybody looked at me, because Sister So-and-so was a gossip. She was a troublemaker and was always sticking her nose in everybody else's business. She caused everybody, including me, more problems and trouble than anyone else in the church. So I said, I want to thank God for Sister So-and-so. She's been the greatest blessing to me of anybody in this church. She keeps me on my knees almost continually. I wouldn't have prayed nearly as much if it hadn't been for her. Amen. He said, knowing her helped me. I suffered because of her, but it matured me. A lot of people actually have the wrong idea of suffering for Jesus.
Yes.
Amen. I should have heard a way better amen than that. Because we can't suffer with what Jesus suffered with. That was His job that He took on the cross for us. It's not our place to say that we're going to suffer with the same thing
That's
Jesus
right.
suffered with.
Right.
Who are we?
That's right.
We're not Jesus, are we?
No.
Jesus, I thought He took it once and for all and then went to hell, right? Took the keys to death, hell, and the grave, correct?
Yes.
And came back, rose back up victorious, correct?
Yes.
And so then I shouldn't be suffering with the things that Jesus suffered on the cross. I shouldn't at all. That's not suffering.
Amen.
That's the wrong suffering.
That's right.
We're allowing Satan to defeat us in that area.
Amen.
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 All right, let's turn over to Isaiah 43:2 in the Passion, please. We're going to have a few scriptures this morning, so y'all get ready.
Okay.
All right, thank you. It says, Isaiah 43:2, it says, when you pass through the deep, stormy sea, you can count on me to be there with you.
Yes.
Amen. When you pass through raging rivers, you will not drown. When you walk through what?
Fire.
Well, in the Passion, it says persecution, like fire. When you walk through persecution, like fire, like fiery flames, you will not be burned. The flames will not harm you. Persecution, right?
Yeah.
Amen. Persecution, I looked it up, and it said to treat someone cruelly or unfairly, especially because of race or religion or political beliefs. So persecution means to treat someone cruelly or unfairly, especially because of race or religious or religion or political beliefs. Turn over to James 1:13, please. James 1:13. Y'all see it right here. Do you have the King James? I have it. It says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of who?
God.
Of who?
God.
Of who?
God.
So God doesn't tempt us, does he?
Amen.
Well, God's put this on me to test me. No, he hasn't, because that's not what the scripture says. And so one of us is a liar, either you or the Bible. Amen. Or I should say liar, just not telling the truth. Well, it is a liar. It's not telling the truth. So let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God, what?
Cannot.
Say cannot.
Cannot.
Cannot be tempted with evil. Neither tempteth he, what?
Any man.
Are you any man or woman?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Amen. So the tests and trials and sufferings and things, they're not coming from God. But then again, like we saw, you know, the Holy Ghost led Jesus. Let's turn over there. Luke 4, verse 1. We'll read out of the King James again. Trying to get ahead of myself. Luke 4. It says, and Jesus, being full of what? Being full of what?
Holy Ghost.
Amen. And Jesus, being full of what?
Holy Ghost.
Returned from Jordan and was led by who?
Spirit.
Into what?
Into the wilderness.
Into the wilderness. Next, please. Being 40 days, what?
Tempted.
Of God?
No.
Of who?
The devil.
And in those days, he did eat what? And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. Interesting. So after the 40 days have passed, correct? Because it says when they were ended, right?
Yes.
And then Satan comes back.
Yes.
Because he's been tempted the whole 40 days, correct?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Right. And then Satan comes back. Next verse, please. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone to be made bread. Right? And so Satan, he didn't just leave after a season. So he tempted him for 40 days. Jesus was starving because he didn't eat the whole time, correct?
Yes.
Amen. And so then Satan showed back up. He said, you know what? He might be a little touchy right now.
Yep.
Let me try it. Let me try it out and see if he's still standing where he said he was standing. Let's see if he actually believes what he believes.
Amen.
Amen. Because, you know, Jesus, and some people might say, well, Jesus, that's the Son of God. He is born the Son of God. No, he is born man. He gave up all of his rights as the child of God. You understand that? Because I forget where it's at, but it talks about that Jesus grew in wisdom daily. Well, how do you grow in wisdom if you already know everything? So obviously he had to lay aside all of his deity and come here as a man, right? And he's also showing us a great example. Look, I went through it for 40 days. 40 days. And that's the reason he came here as a man, to show us the example of, look, you can be tested and tempted by the devil, but you ain't got to yield to it. You ain't got to be moved by it. You can stand your ground and overcome Satan every time. Because over in James, it talks about resist the devil and he'll stay there. What?
Flee.
You know what flee means? It means to run from as in terror.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
To run from as in terror. So doubt comes up. Fear tries to show up. Fear, I resist you in the name of Jesus. Doubt, I resist you in the name of Jesus. I ain't going to doubt. I don't doubt. I'm a believer. That's what I do.
Yeah.
Right? Amen. So he was tempted, right? Amen. For 40 days. And then Satan showed back up. He said, hey, what's up, hungry? Why don't you just, you know, go ahead and make some food? Right? Now let's go over to 1 Peter 4, please. King James again. 1 Peter 4:12. We'll read down through 15. says, beloved, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you. Right? Yes. Y'all remember about the fiery trial earlier?
Yes.
Which was like fiery?
Yeah.
Okay. From Isaiah 43?
Yes, I remember.
Okay, good. Me too. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to what? Which is to try you.
Yeah.
Amen. As though some strange thing happened unto you. Next, please. But rejoice. But rejoice. Inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings. Amen. He's talking about what he just went through in Luke 4, not what he went through on the cross, because we got no right to try to put ourselves on the cross with Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
He was our substitute. Let him be. Don't try to take on what he already took.
Amen.
And destroyed and overcame. Amen. And then took the authority of it, obviously, and gave us the authority.
Hallelujah.
Amen. That's why we need to learn how to walk in the authority that God, that Jesus left us. Amen. That same authority Jesus has, we have. Amen. Christ sufferings that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with what?
Exceeding joy.
Next, please. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you. For the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is what?
Glorified.
Next, please. But let none of you what?
Suffer.
As a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a what? In other man's matters.
Amen.
Amen. I found it very, very interesting that it talked about, it put busybodies in the same category as murderers and thief and evildoers.
Amen.
A gossip. Might as well call it what it is.
Yes, right.
Amen. I can see y'all are smiling, so we'll move on. Amen. 1 Peter, go to 5. We're there, right? No, go to chapter 5. We'll start about verse 15. 1 Peter 5. Actually, go to 10, please. Go to 10, please. Go to verse 9, please. Actually, go to verse 8. 7. Casting all your what?
Care.
Upon who?
Jesus.
Who is him?
Jesus.
For he careth for you. Right?
Yes.
So casting all your care upon who?
Jesus,
for he careth for you. So if I'm worrying about things every single day, have I cast my cares upon him?
No.
So then I'm not being a doer of the word either.
Amen.
Right?
Yes,
amen. Next, please. Be sober, be vigilant, because what?
Your adversary.
The devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he what?
May.
He may devour. See, he doesn't know if he can take you or not. You got to give him a sign.
That's right.
You got to go off the deep end, cuss somebody out, throw something at somebody, do whatever, whatever. And then he's like, God, I have an opportunity. I got an open door here.
Yep, that's right.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. I knew it was going to be a good morning. Hallelujah. Glory. Look, I was really pumped whenever I was studying this. I ain't lying. It was so good to me. Amen. Go ahead. Amen. Next one. Whom resist? Whom what?
Resist.
So it's not talking about people that don't resist. It says whom resist. Steadfast in your worry. Because that'll help you get through all your problems. I've never seen somebody that worried that actually fixed something. Amen. Whom resist steadfast in the what?
Faith.
In the what?
Faith.
Faith. Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brother that are what?
In the world.
In the world. Amen. See, we all have things that try us. Amen. Go over to Acts 9 real fast, verse 15. We can do that out of the King James too. It's fine. Acts 9. It says, but the Lord said unto him, this is talking about Ananias, or Paul, which is Saul. Go thy way, for he is a chosen. No, this is Ananias. He's talking to Ananias right now. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me. He's talking about Saul, which is Paul, right?
Yes.
Amen. To do what? To do what? To go through things. To suffer. Okay. Amen. Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Next, please. For I will show him how great things he must what?
Suffer.
From what? Look, I'm not saying that we're suffering all the time with sickness, disease, and all that. I'm talking about people coming against you, people talking about you, people not liking you, your boss not wanting to give you a raise, gives everybody else a raise, that kind of stuff. That'll make you suffer a little bit. That's persecution. Because that makes you want to hit somebody in the neck. Let's be honest about it. Brother Hagin talked about, you want to know why I'm so settled? He said, it's because all the suffering that I had to go through. He preached for 12 years in churches, and not one of them was a good church. Each church had problems. He said, but the Spirit of God led me to each one of them.
Amen.
He said, "People, you want to know why some people ain't steady? Because once persecution and sufferings come, they jump out of the pot.
Yes.
They give up. They quit. I can't take this. This might, number one, they try to go, well, this might not be the will of God.
Yeah.
Amen. But we know as Christians, the cares of life, we are in this world.
Yeah.
We are in this world.
Yeah.
We're not in heaven right now. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. But we can live like we're there.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. Although persecution and things come, we can continually act like we act every single day. We can yield to the joy that's on the inside of us and walk through any problem that tries to show up.
Yeah.
But there's going to come persecution to help mature you and get you ready for the next level. But if we're constantly jumping out of the pot every time we hit a hard place, you know, we might be going along thinking we're mature. Then somebody says something about us. We hear it. Now we want to fight. But we got to learn to stop. Just let them talk. Who cares what they say? They're going to say it anyways. What effect of what they're saying is going to do? What's it going to do to your life? How is it going to affect your life, what they're saying? Think about it. What is it going to do to your life? Is it going to change it? Is it going to make you live better? Is it going to make you live worse? So why would I care what somebody else is saying about me? Thank God I learned that a long time ago as a kid. I just didn't really care what people said about me. Because number one, I'm going to have fun. I'm going to have fun and I'm going to enjoy my life. Well, he's just crazy and look at him. Well, whatever. You can have fun too. I mean, you just look like you ate a sour lemon. But I ain't saying nothing about you. But you can be smiling and joyful all the time if you want. Yeah. Amen. Amen. And we lost a few. We're back. I will show him how great things he must what? Suffer for my name's sake. Turn over to Acts 20, then verse 23 and 24, please. We got to learn to say stay settled. Because it'll help mature you. It'll help grow you. Yes. Who cares what's going on and what they're saying? Who cares?
Right.
Who cares what the boss is trying to do and all of them? Just do what you know to do. Stand on the word of God. Because it'll come through every single time.
Yeah.
Save the Holy Ghost witnessed in every city saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. Next, please. But none of these things, what? But none of these things, what?
Move me.
What's moving you? What's getting you out of that? What's moving you? We need to find out and adjust and move forward from there. Amen. If we're going through tests and trials, who cares? Who doesn't? You know, some people think once you get the call of God on your life, that you don't have to suffer or go through any of this stuff. If anything, I think it's a little bit more.
Yes,
so I have to learn. I have to study the word of God, allow and be led by the Holy Ghost, which is on the inside of me, and just continually move forward. Even though I might get, he might lead me into a hard place. Great example of that was our mine and Chelsea's last house. I know he led us to that house. I know it for a fact because as soon as I pulled up there, I said, yeah, this is it. I just knew it on the inside of me. But yet the neighbor sued us every single day we were there. I can't tell you how many times me and Chelsea had to go to court because she didn't like our fence in our backyard. There was no CCNRs or nothing, but she thought she was the captain. And so I had to sit there and pay for lawyers for a few years. For a few years. See, and then somebody might be like, I don't know why this always happens to me. Well, stay settled. See what the word of God says about faith and stay there and get through it. Don't complain about it, because if we can continually complain about it, we ain't never going to get through it. And we're going to have to continually circle back around and hit the same thing. But if we just stay steady, stay in faith, move forward, we'll get through it. I'm telling you, y'all don't understand, because we had to pay quite a bit of money for lawyers and then going to court. And it wasn't a one-time deal. Like, she would try to sue us over this and then try to sue us over that and then try to sue us over this and then try to sue us over that. It was the craziest thing I ever seen. And then she made a web page and had my backyard in it.
Yep.
I wanted to go to the front door, to be honest with you. Ricky did.
Yep.
And just tell his husband, hey, I don't want to talk to you because you're a lady. Bring your husband over here and just educate him real fast and then walk away. That's all I wanted to do, because I was done with it, because year 4 and 5, I was just over it. But then I started seeing it and started becoming settled, started realizing, look, this is just Satan trying to move me from what God already has for me. He's trying to get me to get out of this. That way I won't be made mature. I won't get settled in my faith. I just need to stay here. Because if Jesus went through this for quite a bit of things, not only for 40 days, but whenever he's going to the cross and still just kept his mouth shut, able to keep his mouth shut and not complain the whole time, not say, you know what, you'd hit me again. You pluck one more hair on my face. You spit in my face one more time. And he was our example of how humans can live here on earth and not yield to anger, but to be able to yield to love, kindness, gentleness. Amen. Right? Joy, self-control. Because sometimes that self-control just wants to take over. Yeah. Yeah, boy. Y'all ain't ready. But are we settled? Are we being moved? Are we allowing things? Are we allowing things to move us? Are we? That's questions we got to ask ourselves. Am I jumping out of the pot? Am I jumping out of this too early? Am I just giving up? Because I'm going to be real honest with you. I'm just not a quitter. That was not instilled in me and my siblings growing up. And because, number one, mom and dad told us, they said, look, because there was enough of us kids to bait a trot line, right? So they said, look, y'all can only do two sports apiece, because if not, we're going to be driving everywhere. Because there was eight of us, right? I mean, good Lord. But anyways, what was I saying? I'm not a quitter. So they told us, look, you start a sport, though.
Yes, sir. That's right.
I'm going to tell you right now, you start a sport, you're going to finish the season.
Yes, sir. Amen.
I don't care if you don't like your coach. I don't care if you don't start. I don't care if you don't like it midway through. If you start it, you're going to finish it. And that really instilled things on the inside of us as kids. Not to be a quitter, not to give up whenever it got hard, whenever it got rough, whenever I didn't like the person running stuff, whenever I didn't like them talking about me, whenever they said I wasn't any good. Who cares? I'm just going to strive each day to be better than I was that day.
Amen.
If anything, you should grow from those kind of things. Seriously, we should grow from those kind of things. Because if they're talking about us, you know what? I don't care, but I'm going to prove you wrong. I'm just wanting you to know that. I'm not telling you that. I'm saying it to myself, but I'm going to prove you wrong.
Yeah.
Just sit by and watch. Like one kid told me, whenever I first got in the military, he was kind of mouthing me and stuff. He's an E4. I was like an E1 or something like that. And he's kind of mouthing me and stuff. And finally, one day, I kind of had enough, and I just told him, I said, let me let you know something real fast. I will pass you up in rank. I want you to know that. He looked at me and almost fell on the floor laughing. But I just stayed with it and I stayed consistent.
Yeah.
I didn't just throw my hands up whenever I'd get smoked all the time for doing crazy stuff or whenever I'd had to go through all the schools, because the schools are designed to break you.
Yeah.
That's just all they're designed. They're designed to break you. But I wouldn't allow that quit mentality to overrun what I wanted to do. I wouldn't allow the quit mentality to tell me how to live my life. Because if I do that, then every time something's hard, I'm going to step out and quit.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if I know how to stay in a hard place, if I know how to stay where it's tough on me, then every day of my Christian life, I know I'm going to have things like that show up, so I know I'll make it through it, because I'm not a quitter. I'm just not a quitter. That's not something I am. Amen. That's not something that goes along with me or my character or my name. It's not. And it should be something that goes along with you, your character, or your name. Amen. We should always, once we start something, even if we don't like it, Even if we missed it,
yeah,
when we think God told us,
yeah,
to say, God, I repent, but I told him I'd do it, so I'm going to do it.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Amen. Go over to 2 Corinthians, please, 11. So once again, you know, what things move us? What things move us, right? We got to be asking ourselves that. We should ask ourselves that weekly, daily, however you want to do it. Amen. You can go over to 2 Corinthians 11, please. Verse 24, sorry. And I think that's the classic. Amplified, sorry, I didn't tell you. Five times, y'all know this is Paul, right? Five times. Five times. We need to understand that. Five times I received from the hands of the Jews what? He got whipped five different times, 39 times apiece. Five different times. Some people would have quit when that first whoop. But yet, he received it five different times, 39 stripes. That's, y'all understand that? I mean, like, seriously, five different times? And then we think we have it hard because somebody said something about us. Next, please. Oh, man. Three times I've been beaten with rods. Once I was stoned to death. Y'all know that. Three times I've been aboard a ship wrecked at sea, a whole night and a day. I've spent adrift on the deep. Next, please. Many times on journeys, exposed to perils from rivers, perils from bandits, perils from my own nation, perils from the Gentiles, perils in the city, perils in the desert places, perils in the sea, perils from those posing as believers, but destitute of Christian knowledge and piety. Perils, I looked it up, it just means to be in danger. Amen. To be in danger. That's what it means. So, you know, he says he is in danger from the rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from his own nation, in danger from the Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the desert places, in danger at sea, and those posing as believers. Next verse, please. In toil and hardship, watching often through sleepless nights in what? Frequently driven to fasting by want. In cold and exposure and lack of clothing. So we just went through what Paul went through. But yet, I never read in the Bible where it said, and Paul gave up. And he quit because it got too hard. But a lot of times, some people, whenever somebody says something about them or something doesn't go their way, well, I don't know why they don't want me to preach. Have you not heard me? I don't know why I said that. Amen. But amen. But we never read. Hallelujah. Amen. Y'all all right? Yeah, me too. Amen. I enjoy this. Thank you. Yes, that's what I'm saying. Amen. So not one time did he quit. But, you know, like I said, sometimes people, if somebody says something about them, they're like, I can't believe they'd say that. Why would they say that about me? What is God, I don't know why everybody's talking about me. Not like I'm not doing good or something, you know. I mean, what's the difference between me and them? What? Why are they saying stuff? What's going on? Why everybody talking about me? Who cares? Is it going to help you with your life today? If you know what they said, if anything, it's going to, if it's able, get you into anger. And get you right out of love, which is just not any good on us, because we get out from the umbrella of love, right? Amen. Where Satan has an advantage, an opportunity, right? Amen. We need to hurry real fast so we can get through this. Romans 5, please. Romans 5, verse 3 and 4. You pull it up in the Amplified Classic. I'll pull it up in the King James, please. So if we haven't been beaten, if we haven't been shipwrecked, then we can't really be complaining. Right? Y'all remember one night, him and Silas got thrown in jail. After they got beat. And y'all know the sewer runs through the bottom of the jails. And if you actually had a study on that stuff, and I heard a minister talking about, or if I read it or something like that, where it talked about the people that went to that certain jail only had 2 or 3 months that they were expected to live because all the diseases from the sewer, you got open wounds, you know, you ain't just ain't gonna make it that long down there. But they started whining and complaining, saying, God, I don't know why I've been serving you so long. I've been the best Christian. I pay tithes. I pay offering. I pray all the time. I don't know why I'm going through all this stuff. They just said, thank God. Thank God for the hard places. We'll praise God and we'll get out of this one just like we did the last one. Nobody wants hard times. I'm going to tell you that right now. Because if you was up here, you'd be able to see y'all's faces and go, yeah, I agree. Yeah. Nobody wants hard times, but sometimes we will be led in those places to see if we're being settled, to see if we believe the word of God or not, to mature us. Amen. Where was we at? Romans 5, yep. Romans 5, verse 3, it says in the King James, I'll read that one first. It says, and not only so, but we glory, we glory in tribulations. That's the question we need to ask ourselves. Do I glory in tribulations or do I get fighting mad and complain? Also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. Amen. The Amplified, y'all see it there, says, moreover, let us also be full of joy now. Be what? Amen. Amen. Let us also be full of joy now. Let us exalt and triumph in our troubles. In our troubles? Yes. Look at your neighbor and say, thank God for the hard places. And rejoice in our what? Not to be confused with sickness and disease, poverty and lack, because that's under the curse. That's under the curse. Knowing that pressure, pressure, and a lot of people move off pressure too. A lot of people take that as a sign from God, as maybe I shouldn't be doing this. Amen. But we got to be led by how? Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of us, that helps us if we'll let Him. Amen. Yes, ma'am. Hallelujah. In our suffering, knowing that the pressure and affliction and hardship, hallelujah, produce patient and what?
Unswerving endurance. Hallelujah.
Yes. See, it produces. So if I'm not staying there, that's why I'm constantly jumping. Whenever troubles or something shows up hard, I'm out. Mm-mm. That's too rough. But yet we want God to use us, and He's trying to mature us and get us to a place He's able to use us. But when hard times and things show up, we, not today. Not us, right? Amen. Hallelujah. But it's interesting that it produces patience and endurance. Unswerving endurance. That means you're able to stand. That means you're able to stand there and it won't move you. That means you can look at it in the face and go and laugh. That means that you can drive up to your house, see it burning down, and start laughing.
Yes. Come on now. Come on now.
Brother Hagin told his wife, he said, look, or I think he's talking to one of the deacons. No, maybe it's his wife. He said, look, I don't care if the deacons get out and get into a fist fight outside. I don't care if the church burns down. Don't come get me. I'm studying. He said, if the deacons get into a fist fight, just let them fight it through. Once they're done, we'll get out there and pray with them. He didn't allow things to move him. He didn't allow things to move him at all. And he was just letting everybody know, even Satan, look, even if this stuff shows up, I'm telling you right now, don't bother me. I'm in the Word. I'm studying. If the church burns down, we'll build a bigger one. See, some people look at it like, well, if the house burned down, what am I going to do? But people in faith look at it and go, hallelujah, now I can build the dream house that I've been wanting. Amen. See, it's the way we look at things, too. A lot of times whenever tests and trials show up, it tries to get us over into the negative. And if we allow it to keep us there, we'll stay there. Amen, but don't stay there. Amen. We got a few minutes. Let me... Can we look that up in the living? Do you have the living? We rejoice, too, when we run into problems. When we run into what?
Problems.
And trials. For we know that they are good, what? For we know that they are good for us. They help us learn to what? Amen. Hallelujah. I don't know about y'all. I like to took off. Amen. Next verse, please. And patience develops strength of what?
Character.
Amen. In us and helps us trust God more each time we use it. 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 Until finally our hope and faith are strong and what?
Steady.
Steady. Amen. Turn over to Hebrews 5:13, please. We ain't gonna make it. We ain't gonna make it. It's all right. Hebrews 5:13. I'll read it out of the King James first. Will you pull it up in the, yeah, you got the living. Hebrews 5:13, it says, for everyone, I'm reading it out of the King James first, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Well, at the word right there, I got a number three, is unskillful. I got a number three, and over in the margin it says, hath no experience.
Come
on. Want to know why? Because whenever hard times show up, they jump.
Yes.
Whenever hard times show up, they get out. Amen. A person might quit or give up so they never experience how to endure the process to victory. That's a quote from Dr. Ricky Edwards. A person might quit. This is your only chance I'm saying it's from you. Next time I'll say I heard it. And then next time I'll say I've been saying it for years. Right. A person might quit. A person might quit or give up so they never experience how to endure the process to victory. Amen. Amen. We'll read this living real fast. You have been Christians a long time now, and you ought to be teaching others. I like how he pointed out. He said, look, y'all been Christians a long time. You ought to be teaching others, but instead, you've what?
Brought back.
But instead, you have dropped back to a place where you were comfortable. Where it was easy, where you didn't have to do anything. Amen. Drop back to a place where you need someone to teach you all over again the very first principles in God's word. You are like babes who can drink only milk, not old enough for solid food. And when a person is still living on milk, it shows he isn't very far along in the Christian life and doesn't know much about the difference between right and wrong. He is still a baby Christian. Yep. Amen. Well, we'll stop with that. Amen. Because we ain't going to make it. That's the thing. We ain't going to make it. Amen. Would y'all get anything out of that?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Don't quit. You hit a hard spot, stay with it. Amen. Next time you hit a hard spot, read 2 Corinthians.
Yes, sir.
Where it talked about Paul. He said, I've been whipped 5 different times. And then start going through what all he suffered, and then see if yours amounts to his. And if it's not, you're fine. Just keep going. Right? Amen. Well, Father God, we do love, thank you, and praise you, and magnify your holy name. I thank you, Father God, for the word this morning. I thank you we will be doers of the word, not hearers only. In the mighty name of Jesus, everybody agreed, said amen. I'm going to take this jacket off because it is hot.
Your mic's still on.
My mic is on.